It's Sunday morning. Time for the Great Outdoors with Charlie Potter. Brought to you by the all-new Chevy Silverado and ChevyDriveChicago.com on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Good morning. Welcome to the Great Outdoors Show on WGN Radio. Your host, Charlie Potter, as we enjoy a wonderful weekend in June. Not quite to the official beginning of summer, but after the weather the last 24 hours, you would think we were in the heat of August. What a change from what we just had on Wednesday when it was only in the mid-50s along the lake and to yesterday where we were sweltering. But that's the beauty of Chicago and the beauty of summer in the Midwest. And this morning's show is going to be a great one, and I think you're going to thoroughly enjoy it. I think we're all going to learn a lot, and that's because we are visiting with Brian Borkowitz, who is with the Davy Tree Expert Company, and I have known Davy Tree Company, as most of us know it. I've known Brian for a long time, and I thought it'd be wonderful this morning to talk about trees, particularly the ash borer beetle and what's going on with this disease, which is ravaging or has ravaged large portions of the Midwest and is now spreading elsewhere, and just talk about trees and how we keep them healthy. And Brian, thank you for joining us this morning. I've meant to do this show for a long time, and we finally connect.
Yeah, you're welcome, Charlie. I'm glad to be here as well. So
let me start off. I mean, here we are. The trees right now are as green as they will be all year. Everything has jumped in the last 10 days, even late May along the lakefront. The oaks hadn't really even shown a hint of coming out of their winter doldrums, and boom, you know, here everything is as verdant and bright and lush as it can be, and yet you look through the forest preserves and you look along the tree lines of where, you know, streets in Chicago and elsewhere where people live, and you see death everywhere among the verdant green. What's going on?
Well, yeah, you're exactly right. This spring was very slow to come, so this is a welcome change finally to get everything up and going. But yeah, the carnage that we are seeing out there right now, some of the main problems we're seeing is with tree death and decline is associated with our enemy here, the emerald ash borer. And we're finding ourselves kind of almost at the downward slide of this particular pest. It was found here in Chicagoland area in 2006. So we're in a good 10 years or so of an infestation here. And we think in the next 18 to 24 months, we'll kind of be flushed out of it. But in its wake, we have lost about 25 to 30% of our entire urban canopy as a result of this insect. And that's happened across the Midwest. So it's a real issue.
So are we talking, Brian? Is this million? I mean, it appears to me it's millions of trees. You drive wherever you drive in their forests, they're just trees that are waiting to fall over. Are we talking hundreds of thousands or millions of trees? Do you think?
Millions. We're in the millions for sure. So if you can imagine, just like we had with chestnut blight when we first founded this country, it was 25% of all of its trees were American chestnut, and ash has taken its place. Now we're in the throes of another infestation that'll do the same thing. So yeah, we're talking about millions of trees. So it's definitely impactful, and probably even more impactful in the urban areas because of the water capabilities. When we lose that kind of canopy, the watershed changes because we're not able to capture as much water. These trees do a good job at doing that, and when they're gone, it's an impact.
So is it, I want to come to that in a moment, your thought about water. It is on the scale of Dutch elm, would you say Dutch elm was the last really big infestation we had that took out so many of our trees? Is this on as par with that, or is it much worse?
It's significantly worse. So I mentioned the American chestnut. And not many people remember that, but most people remember Dutch elm because we had two major infestations of that particular disease where in the early 20s and 30s, we lost a good portion of our street trees. And then lo and behold, we didn't learn, and we replanted those. And then again, in the 50s and 60s, when those trees got mature, we lost another big wave. We still have elms in the urban environment and even in the natural environment, and they're still around. But emerald ash borer dwarfs Dutch elm disease by exponential numbers, actually. There's just much more ash trees in the United States than there were elm trees. So it's exponentially larger.
Wow. And where did this come from? Where did the emerald ash boring beetle, what I call it, I'm sure it has a fancy science name, but where did this come from?
So it was originally found late 90s, early 2000s in the Detroit and Windsor, Canada area. It's where the first infestation, and it's native to China. It's native to Asia, and they actually have had that pest there, or actually there. It's actually kind of a useful insect because it's been in that environment so many, thousands of years. But it was shipped over, and like so many of these disease and insect problems that come to the Americas, on shipping crates. So they came on shipping crates, released into an environment that was not used to having that insect in the environment, finds a perfect host plant in green and white ash, and that's where the ravaging takes place. It gets a hold of that host species and goes to town. So it's really just not on purpose, but just a release from packing crates.
So I guess, by the way, we're visiting with Brian Borkowitz, who is with the Davy Tree Company, and they are not only, as obviously your company, the national leader in the nursery and tree business, but the tree care business. But in this part of the world, you see your trucks everywhere. And Brian, I've known you for quite a while. So we talk a lot about the Asian carp and the havoc mm-hmm. that they're wrecking. We talk a lot about zebra mussels and the havoc they wrecked. And all these things seem, all the course of these invasive species, which is like a disease, I guess, like when we arrived, the settlers arrived here several hundred years ago, they introduced smallpox and it wiped out so many of the Native Americans that were here because they had no defense against smallpox. So does the same thing occur in the tree business or the tree world? They don't have any natural defenses, and all of a sudden here comes an insect or here comes something else that they've not had any adaptation to. They have no resistance, and it wipes them out. Is that really what we're seeing?
Yeah, that's exactly right. It's the same process. And unfortunately, these insects and other pathogens seem to be the flavor of the day. Our company works very closely with a lot of governmental agencies, the USDA, and mainly APHIS, which is the Animal Health Inspection Service. And we do a lot of collaboration and a lot of research at trying to help them understand how to manage these pests when they do become released into our native environment and coming from that is non-native. So we do a lot of that work with them. And unfortunately, emerald ash is just one of many. A lot of people remember Asian longhorn beetle, which was here in Chicago, fortunately for just a short period of time, when that was also released here in the late 90s, early 2000s. And I actually headed a team in collaboration with APHIS and Davy Tree to do eradication program in the city of Chicago for, it was almost 8 years we worked on that project. And fortunately, because of the swift action in collaboration with the city of Chicago and with the Department of Ag, the Illinois Department of Ag, and the resources that came at that time, we were able to get an eradication here in Chicago. There's other areas in the country that isn't the case in Asia, for Asian longhorn beetle. We have an infestation in Worcester, Mass, and down in Bethel, Ohio, that are still active. But we are, making some progress there. So there's other pathogens that come in and into the non-native environment and become problems. And so this is just, unfortunately, the flavor of the day. This is something I think we're going to have to deal with And as you mentioned, the Asian carp and these other things is just something that we're going to have to try to manage the best that we can.
Well, let's do this, Brian. We're going to take a quick break. And when we come back, I'd love to get your take on how the loss of all these ash trees is affecting water quality, runoff, and it's having a real impact on our waterways. So anyway, we'll be right back, Brian, if you don't mind. We're visiting with Brian Borkowitz of the Davey Tree Company. We're talking about diseases in trees and how they're introduced into the country and what the consequences are. And I hope you're very much enjoying the Great Outdoor Show this morning. This is Charlie Potter, your host on the Outdoor Voice of Chicago and America, 720 WGN. And first, a message from your Northwest Indiana and Chicagoland Chevrolet dealer.
Winter is here and it's always tough on the road. But when the going gets tough, the tough get going. And nothing is tougher than the 2016 Chevy Silverado. Silverado is the longest-lasting, most dependable pickup on the road. With all-steel construction, Silverado is built to tame Chicago's winter weather. And Silverado's towing package offers 11,400 pounds of towing capacity. Perfect for hauling your snowmobiles. I love pulling my neighbors out of their snowdrifts. And right now, you can get $7,250 total savings on a 2016 Chevy Silverado All-Star. $7,250. That really warms my heart. Go to ChevyDriveChicago.com and get all the details. Or head to your Chicagoland and Northwest Indiana Chevy dealer today and pick up a pickup that works as hard as you do, on the road or off. Chevy Silverado is one tough customer.
It's Charlie Potter and the Great Outdoors on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Welcome back to the Great Outdoor Show. Charlie Potter, your host here on WGN Radio. I hope you're enjoying the show. And if you're just joining us, we are visiting with Brian Borkowitz of the Davey Tree Company. We're having quite a conversation about the emerald ash and what's happening to ash trees and generally invasive species as a whole. And you said, Brian, we've lost millions of ash trees. I have two questions off the bat in the time we have remaining. The first question is, do trees eventually adapt and become are able to handle this beetle? Do they get some kind of immune system? And the second thing is, as all these trees are dying, what does that do to the runoff from rains? And trees, obviously, the root system absorbs a lot of water. So why don't you fire at the first one, and then we'll come back to the second one.
Sure. So the first question with regard to resistance, that unfortunately takes an extreme amount of time. So they're native to the Asian countries. Those ash trees in those countries have developed not immunity, but resistance to that particular pest. And so the strong genetic codes and strong genetic species of those plants have been able to do that over the millennia. So unfortunately, it's a long period of time to be able to withstand those infestations. So the plants can do that, but the time horizon is not in our favor when it's introduced to an environment that it's not used to. So unfortunately, that's not going to be something that's going to be a quick solution. There are a few varieties and species that are the white ash and the blue ash and the black tend to be a little bit more resistant, but eventually they do succumb to the infestation when it's introduced. So that's going to take some time. Although our good friends at the Morton Arboretum, they work very heavily in Asia. They will continue to work with genetics and things like that to try to increase the diversity, at least in our marketplace and for other plants in the country. So that'll be something they'll be working on.
So what replaces that as the ash trees die and fall or stand just as testament to what was once there? What's the understory that's going to? What's the next tree that's going to succeed them in the natural canopy?
Well, the good thing about ash trees is they do tend to be a volunteer species, so they do reestablish relatively quickly. So that's a good thing, I guess, to a certain degree, because they probably won't be eliminated from the landscape, just like elms. But the key will be as far as when we do start to purposely replace these ash trees, let's say in the urban environment or the parkway or in our yards, the real key to managing this particular pest is going to be just like a good portfolio, diversification. We want to diversify as many species as we can in the urban environment. So we want to replant with a lot of different types of trees. That's going to be really the key to managing this thing moving forward.
So we're visiting with Brian Borkowitz of the Davy Tree Company. And, Brian, in the time we have left, what happens when the sponge, the roots of all these trees, which drink water and absorb runoff and snow, is we lose millions of trees, and before, if you will, a diversity is able to take their place, what happens to all that water?
Well, that is the immediate issue right now, is because we're losing 25% of our canopy, and the average ash tree, which in Illinois is about 12 inches, can actually intercept or mitigate about 12 to 1,500 gallons in an annual season. That's a lot of water hitting our system. So, and we know that through the modeling that the U.S. Forest Service has put out there through these tools that we have now called iTree. And so homeowners can go and go on this iTree program and actually look at that data. But yeah, that is a real issue of the water hitting the system. And I think that's why we're seeing so many much more flooding events, is because we're losing a lot of these trees in urban areas. So that's an issue. And again, we just got to try to get new trees back and going, so that the planting can start, and then the water can be mitigated again. So
it's, in the meantime, there's a lot more runoff. Going, there's the same amount of water, but it's running faster because it's not going into the ground. So that means it goes into the tiling system, it goes into the culverts, it ends up in the Illinois, it ends up in the Ohio, wherever this has occurred, and that exacerbates the flooding.
Yeah, or it ends up in our Great Lakes, and so yeah, that's exactly right. And we lose a lot of erosion, unfortunately, as a result of that. So it's one of those things. We can't plant enough trees quick enough.
So we've got about a minute left, Brian. As you look ahead to the next couple of years, somebody gets up and they see they have an emerald ash. They see they have an ash tree that's dying in their yard. What's the first thing they should do?
Well, that's the biggest thing right there, is making sure they find out what trees they have on their property. And you'd be surprising how many folks are unaware. And we've got all these trees in our neighborhood and our yard doing all this great, wonderful ecological services, as we call it, and we kind of take them for granted. So identifying that you actually even have an ash, and then finding out what your level of infestation is within your neighborhood or region. And fortunately, our treatment protocols have gotten a lot better once we know that the tree is going to be impacted by the beetle. We actually can treat preventatively, and we're much more successful at a treatment program, but that has to be done prior to a major infestation. So because once the tree becomes so brittle and starts declining, then it starts to become a risk. So mitigating that removal will be important as far as the next step, is trying to get rid of that tree before it unfortunately fails, which we don't want.
That's Brian Borkowitz with the Davy Tree Company on what's happening with the ash trees and how to mitigate against it. Hey, thank you so much for listening this morning. This is Charlie Potter, the Outdoor Voice of Chicago and America, 720 WGN.